at 8.07 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Glad you're along here. And later this hour, checking in with Quinn Hillier. Also turning up your voice throughout the hour at 343-0106. But we head back to the Research Center, the Forecast Center, and staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams, tropical weather expert, and the latest on Michael. Good morning, Dr. Bill.
Good morning, Sean.
All right, so here we sit as what was last week, something you told us, bore watching. He said, watch this, and now we're looking at a Category 2 hurricane as of this Tuesday morning.
Yeah, and it could be a Category 3 in the next 12 to 24 hours, because this storm that's now in the southeast Gulf is really growing, really intensifying. 100-mile-per-hour winds right now, but by tomorrow, as it moves into the Florida Panhandle, it could be up to at least 115 miles per hour, which would make it a Category 3. Michael's should make landfall in the Panama City area. Most likely that will occur tomorrow afternoon. And after that, it'll track on up into Georgia and eventually into the Carolinas and offshore on Friday. So it'll pick up forward speed and move on out to sea. But in the meantime, we've got plenty of rain for the Panhandle. Fortunately, we're on the western fringe, the good side of the storm, in which we're going to get some nice, dry, cool air into our area for the end of the week and on through the weekend. But for the Florida Panhandle, especially from Destin on over through Panama City and to Apalachicola, that's really where the heart of this hurricane will be. And with a storm surge of 8 feet, possibly up to maybe even 11 feet in some areas.
Now, when you talk about 8 to 11 feet, surge is, again, the height above, the normal level of the Gulf, but it all depends on what the topography is in an area, how far in that goes, or what kind of damage is done. What's it like over there east of Panama City?
Oh, we have a lot of bays and inlets, and those areas will get a greater storm surge where the water will pile up in those sort of concave areas. And those straight areas along the coast will get mostly around 8 feet. But again, up to 11 feet, maybe even more than that in some areas. So, yeah, that's going to be a problem with those figures, particularly from Panama City and to the east of Panama City. That's where the worst of the storm surge will occur. The western panhandle and on into the Mobile area, we're going to have offshore wind. So that's a great help that pushes water away from the coast.
But you said before landfall, though, we are looking at some increase in high tide levels, right? I mean, people were commenting this morning that the water seemed fairly high along the causeway as of this morning. Now, high tide is in just about 15 minutes, but will we get any kind of noticeable surge or at least increased water levels?
Yeah, we'll see an increase, and particularly in Baldwin County, maybe 1 to 3 feet, and that 3 feet maybe over closer to the Pensacola area. After that, it will increase a bit, and then, of course, a dramatic increase if you get over to Panama City. But all of this is going to take place rather rapidly, the build-up tonight and tomorrow, and then things improve on Thursday. And for us, we're going to see some gusty winds tonight and tomorrow. Perhaps we could see some gusts of 35 tomorrow, and it'll be basically out of the north. And again, that's pushing water away from the coast.
And rainfall-wise, I know you have rainfall in our forecast for today. Is that just normal rainfall, or is that from Michael?
Yeah, we're going to start to see an increase, a rapid increase in moisture, the circulation around the storm. But we won't see any of those bands really till we get in tomorrow, those feeder bands, in which you get some heavy rainfall in some of those cells. And that could occur tomorrow. We're going to pick up maybe 1 to 2 inches of rain, maybe a little more than that, but generally 1 to 2. But as you get over into Panama City area, it could be 8 inches of rain, maybe even double digits in some areas around Panama City and a little bit to the north. And then totals of 5 to 8 inches will carry across Georgia and on into the western Carolinas.
All right, so the Carolinas will get another dose of rain, nothing like Florence, but they will get more rain on that already saturated ground.
That's right, and most of that rain will occur sort of upstream. So, of course, it takes a while then for that to get down into the coastal areas. Fortunately, the storm storm will move rapidly across the Carolinas. It's not going to stay around like Florence did.
All right. And then here at home, you've mentioned a couple times, but the benefit is to us as Michael goes inland, the cooler and drier air comes southward.
That's right. And a nice cold front will be moving through on Thursday. We'll see clearing skies on Thursday, a few showers left over, and then into the 50s, upper 50s for Thursday night. And on Friday, sunny skies and a high in the 70s. So some beautiful weather coming in.
All right, Dr. Bill, I appreciate the update. We'll check back soon.
Okay, Sean.
All right, staff meteorologist, tropical weather expert, and exclusively heard right here at FM Talk 106.5, Dr. Bill Williams. So there it is, Michael, and something that he told us last week. You know, when he tells you, you learn to speak Dr. Billese. And he does, because he does not hype the way the majority of people in this business. Maybe sometimes my friends here will tell you, to my chagrin, that he does not hype. But it's also a good thing that he doesn't hype, because when he says something, when he finally gets, you know, he'll tell you something, he's pretty certain things. And he last week, he said, he kept going, Got to watch this thing. I was like, all those other things going on, and he kept focusing on
Eye on the tiger.
Yeah. He's more like a doctor or an airline pilot in that respect, which is refreshing in these days and times, because, I mean, I had a USA Today alert earlier where they have to add adjectives to every storm. They have life-threatening.
Right.
And it's always got to be so scary. It's got to be the worst storm ever. And it could be. It is dangerous.
Hey, listen, and there, defense of Rick Scott yesterday, Governor Scott, play the clip here. He said,
the Panhandle and parts of the Big Bend will likely see winds in excess of 110 miles per hour.
That's true.
We have never seen a storm like this hit this part of our state.
That's possibly true as
well.
Again,
Hurricane Michael is forecast to be the most destructive storm to hit the Florida Panhandle in decades.
Okay, so I don't know if he said, we've never seen one like this in this part of the state, and then most destructive in decades. It seems maybe there's some wiggle room. But if he's specific, I mean, yes, you've had massive hurricanes hit the state of Florida, but maybe not that area of the Panhandle. And one thing that'll happen, too, if it's been a long time you've had a hurricane there, and as you get off the beaches, you know, the forests of Northwest Florida are immense. You know, if you've driven through, you realize it. And so many big stands of timber in there that if you start getting winds over 100 miles an hour here, and you have not had a storm to kind of clean out the population in a while of weak trees, you could see a lot of trees down with this as well. So not only the storm surge and those issues, but you could definitely see a lot of trees on houses kind of thing with those kind of winds.
And, you know, I'm the newest one to the bunch, and so I always think about the tourists. I think about people who are not familiar with the area, who have never been near a hurricane. So when they, you know, Governor Scott may
They're gone.
Stop.
They're gone. No, they're out. I'm not saying gone like something happened. Like they're
okay.
They've been. If they're a tourist, and it was a good thing. The city manager was saying that earlier. He said we are uniquely prepared to get people out of here because Panama City is in the business of bringing a whole bunch of people in on Friday afternoon, and then Sunday kicking them out.
Well, but you know those families who say, we waited 20 years to take this first family vacation.
Myrtle, we're staying.
That's right. You know, we spent all this money. We can kind of wait it out. It's just so important to remember that everybody is not as well-versed on certain terms of weather as others are.
And so, they're doing a good job, I think, of telling people that, this is you start talking about the same way when panic mode sets in on a tropical storm and I roll my eyes. When I start hearing Category 3, you've got my attention. No joking around. I mean, that's serious stuff. Those winds, you've been through one of those storms, you know what I'm talking about. That's a long, long night or day in this case.
I love how you point out Dr. Bill, though. He needs no hype man. His hype man are the storms and their names.
Yeah, and getting it right.
That's right.
For sure. So there you go. All right, 816 FM Talk 106.5. Quentin Hillier joins us next. He was very busy. He was on Martha McCallum's show last night talking Kavanaugh. And he was also watching the Saints as Drew Brees was setting records. He joins us next. I'll save y'all. Don't text and drive. Don't even text while you're sitting still. Hey, Kane, General Bullard, not Boulevard, General Bullard is that street. All right. 820 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. We are watching the latest on Hurricane Michael through the eyes of staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Get you more updates coming up. All right, it's our buddy Quentin Hillier from the eponymously entitled QuentinHillier.com, also the author of Mad Jones Heretic, the trilogy, available now at Amazon.com, and a man who was on the big TV last night nationally with Martha McCallum and actually watched his Saints and Drew Brees set records. Hey, Quinn.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing good. You had a big Monday night.
I did have a big Monday night. I was in New Orleans for the Saints game, and Fox News called and asked me if I'd go on with Martha McCallum beforehand, and so I somehow pulled off a daily double.
And part of this starts from an idea you floated out here before the vote, right?
Well, yes, it did, although I didn't talk about the idea on the air. But if you notice that Lisa Murkowski ended up not voting, she paired no with Steve Daines, the Republican from Montana, who was paired yes. What that means is that because Daines was known as a yes and could but had his daughter's wedding that day, she did what used to be a fairly frequent Senate courtesy of saying how she would have voted and then saying, I'm withdrawing my vote and pairing my vote with Mr. Daines, who cannot be here. That used to be done all the time as a Senate courtesy, but it has fallen by the wayside in the past 15 years. And when I found out Senator Daines was worried about having to be at his daughter's wedding, but at the same time keep an eye on the news in case he needed to get a private charter back to D.C. to cast his vote, I immediately wrote a little piece that said this is what they should do so this guy can actually enjoy his daughter's wedding and his daughter can have her father's full attention. And I wrote it, and it went viral on Twitter, and then the White House sent it over to Murkowski and said, hey, would you do this? And she said yes. So it was literally my idea, and that's why the vote was 50-48 instead of either 51-49 or 50-49, depending on how you look at it.
So what did you talk to Martha McCallum about last night?
Well, it was right after Kavanaugh did his public swearing in, and we were just they wanted actually me to talk about with other people whether this has brought Never Trumpers back into the Trump fold. And being a Never Trumper, they thought I'd be good at talking about that. We started talking about that, but I ended up just sort of reminding people of what Kavanaugh's actual record was going back 21 years.
So let me ask you on the first question, does it change you at all?
No, I knew that Trump was going to go with Heritage Foundation and Federalist Society judges going in, and I knew I would be at least pretty happy with that, and I am, but it doesn't change my overall impression of Trump because this was sort of baked into the cake. I mean, there's some things I'm going to like about what he does. It doesn't make me think overall that I like him any better.
But wouldn't that make you a sometimes Trumper instead of a never Trumper? I don't know if...
No. I'm an always Heritage and Federalist Society guy, and it's their judges.
Quinn, I have got a question for you, and good morning. So,
good morning.
You are part of history. Your column, your interview, your voice changed those numbers on either side. That's a big deal. How does that make you feel?
I was pretty happy with it, and the thing was, because Jeff Flake was known to be a little wishy-washy, if they had not paired off, if Daines and Murkowski had not paired off, and then Flake had changed his mind at the last minute, it would have made Kavanaugh go down. And that's why it was really important that Daines not have to worry about some last-minute shift like that. And so that's why I did it. And yeah, I was very pleased to see that they took the idea and they ran with it, but not just for this, but also because it's an important Senate tradition. It's a courtesy that was very important to the Senate, and I want to see them bring it back. There are, if you bring sort of informal but understood courtesies back to the Senate, and the institution might start working a little better without them always being at each other's throat, and we would all benefit from that.
So what did you think of the president of apologizing to now Justice Kavanaugh on behalf of the nation?
Yeah, the nation, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought an apology is sort of needed. I did not think that that ceremony was the time to do it, and I was
really
not
if not
happy.
Then when
I was not happy with how Trump handled that ceremony. He made it a partisan issue, and it have been the partisan at the formal ceremony.
I would agree that if we could hit the rewind button, I want the whole thing to not to be partisan. You know how I feel about that, and I am also somebody who would like return to decorum, although I don't see it happening. But with the stage set as it is, with what the Democrats had thrown at Kavanaugh, you're telling me that there wasn't some room for a comment there?
Oh, there might have been some room for a comment there, but Trump made very sharp comments that were over the top and just were not, I thought, appropriate, even though, I mean, look, you've heard me for all these last several months. I've known Kavanaugh for, not well, but known him for 21 years and was a big supporter of his, but I don't think that was the time to bring people together, not to rub salt in the wounds, and Trump was doing a victory dance.
All right, what's next? As you've heard Democrats say, oh, well, after the midterms, we'll impeach Brett Kavanaugh. I mean, is this the sourest of grapes ever?
Yes, it's the sourest of grapes ever, and anybody who is undecided about who to vote for between a Republican and a Democrat, just to avoid more of this nonsense, this foolishness of trying to impeach the guy that was just put in, rather than do the nation's business, should vote for a Republican just to keep that idiocy from happening. I mean, we've got to move on. There are real issues out there, in daily life that unfortunately we have laws on and laws that need to be changed. So, this is not productive, not constructive to be talking about impeachment.
Going into the midterms here, how do you think that Democrats will play this? Do you think that they will keep railing on the Kavanaugh situation, or do you think that they'll start to kind of move on to something else? Because it seems online like the Democrats still think that this could provide them a lot more women's votes if they continue to zero in on this subject.
Well, if I were a Democratic consultant, I would tell them to target their message so that they don't make Kavanaugh their whole public message, but to carefully target the outrage and use it to gin up people who are upset to keep them from not losing their edge. But to meanwhile pivot to what was working for them. They were way ahead in all the polls until the Kavanaugh stuff happened, and now they're not way ahead. And they do need to pivot back to things like scaring people about Republicans taking away their health care, to bread and butter issues that people usually vote on. They need to figure out what their base wants to hear, not their base, what their possible voters want to hear about bread and butter money issues, and then use this Kavanaugh thing only selectively where it can help, rather than I mean, every time that they make it their one number one big issue, it also riles up Republicans and independents that think Kavanaugh got a raw deal in it, and it just hurts the Democrats, which is fine with me, but
Quinn, let's see, so the Saints did well, and the your support of Kavanaugh, that went well, so you're 2 for 2. What's the third? What you working on? What you working on next?
Oh, I don't know. Anybody got a movie deal for my books?
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe straight to YouTube. I could work something out here. We could do that. If you want something bigger budget, then I'm going to have to find some backing. Okay?
Yeah, so I want bigger budget. But I do want to say congratulations to Drew Brees, all-time number one passer now, and I mean, you know, the New Orleans area and the Central Gulf Coast doing pretty well. Number one is Drew Brees, who plays for the Saints. Number two is Peyton Manning, who grew up in New Orleans. And number three is Brett Favre, who grew up in coastal Mississippi. So we have a monopoly in the best quarterbacks in the country.
Well, I tell you what, it was exciting last night. Imagine, it was incredible to be there at the game. The atmosphere must have been electric.
The atmosphere was absolutely electric. People went nuts when Brees threw the 62-yard touchdown pass to break the record, and then Peyton Manning came on with a very humorous,
that was great,
very classic video.
It was funny. I think that was, I tell you what, we're trying to get the audio here after the break. Yeah. Quinn, as always, we appreciate it. If people want to get the trilogy even before it's made into a movie, how do they find it?
Amazon.com. Just put in my name or Mad Jones, and they'll get any of the three books. Thanks a lot.
All right, and that way you can read the book, and you can be that person when the movie came out and say, well, this was like, I read the book, and this is nothing like the book.
I like the book way better.
Yeah, the book is way better than the book.
Quinn Hillier's like a pick six.
830 FM Talk 106.5. Your calls, text when we get back at 343-0106.
835 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. It's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. And we've been talking a lot lately about Oktoberfest. You've got some great deals at McConnell Automotive. Tell me more about Oktoberfest.
Well, we tried to find another silly name to name one of our sales, Dalton, is what we did.
I like it.
But what really matters to the people out there listening is just, you know, are you really going to save money compared to other car dealerships? And really, kind of since 1955, we've gotten known, you know, for saving people time and money, Dalton. And so if you go to our website, or better yet, come to our dealership at Dolphin and I-65, people are going to be blown away. We've got deals, Dalton, as an example, of over $12,500 off of a Z71 2018 model. And the cool thing is we have the 2019 all-new truck for people to look at. And the issue is simple. We've got these new vehicles coming in, so the 18s have to go. So just literally Yukons, Acadias, new Terrain. We've got it for $150 a month if you lease it. So just all over our lot, and we just are in pandemonium trying to get rid of these 2018 models, and we just want people to make us an offer. If you don't like the price you see online, shoot me and throw us an offer, and we just got to get rid of them, and we're having a ton of fun with this Oktoberfest thing.
Yeah, sounds like a great time. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. Grab some phone calls here and text at 343-0106, 343-0106. Of course, warnings up on the coast. If you check three big things, top stories on our website, FM Talk 106.5. Warnings up on the coast for Hurricane Michael. Talk to Dr. Bill about that. We now have a Category 2 hurricane that will be most likely a 3 by landfall tomorrow in the Panama City Beach area. That will be bringing dry and cooler air by the end of the week to us. In the meantime, maybe South Baldwin, 1 to 3 feet of increased water levels at high tide. You'll be dealing with that. Also, winds 25 to 35 miles an hour and gusty, but nothing really major in our area. We are on the lee side. We're on the good side of the storm here to the west. But our friends over on the Florida Panhandle, Tallahassee, they're really getting it. This storm, while it's not here in our backyard, thank goodness, Category 3 is, once again, as much as people get on me that when there are smaller storms, and I make fun of all the different news groups for getting overhyped, when you start talking about something that's a 3, you got my attention. That's real deal stuff. So I'm scared of what we're going to see over there. Also, President Trump apologizing to Kavanaugh during the swearing-in ceremony. Kelly was talking about that. Quinn was talking about that. I thought it was needed from a nation. He didn't say he was for the nation. Hey, hate that you had to go through that. And of course, he was kind of nonchalant about it as well. I mean, he was kind of chill and said, these kind of things happen, part of the process, let's move on.
Probably really ready for everyone to move on. Mm-hmm. Because we don't spend a whole lot of time talking about specific Supreme Court justices,
right?
And I was listening to the Schnitz show last night, and he was going through all of the votes, and you know, they're really, the votes usually aren't as close as they were for Kavanaugh. It's usually
Go look at, I mean, Sotomayor and Kagan and all that, when the Republicans, it was, I mean, they had like 80 votes for.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was really, well, this has been going on since Bork, that 51-49 jazz. My new term. I'm getting to be an old guy now. Where that jazz.
All that jazz.
That jazz right there is something that has really started over the last year and a half or so.
Have you noticed a theme, though, when there's something major happening in our nation's capital, weather all of a sudden wipes out those headlines?
You think it's part of a plan?
No. Hmm. I just think it's very interesting because now our focus, it went from, of course, Judge Kavanaugh into Justice Kavanaugh, and now we're talking Hurricane Michael.
Yeah, but you can look that for us down here, sure. But if you go around other news agencies, now the national ones for sure are focusing on the storm because it's it gets ratings.
That's right.
But you look at the other local news, say there, it's like the second page down.
What
kind
is
of stuff.
It? The
hurricane? Yeah.
Elsewhere around the United States,
local news stations. You know, like if you not the national, but if right. you go to Schenectady, New York, or you go to Solana, Kansas, or something like that, they're it's on down the list.
Aw, look at you. And also, in the news story is that horrific accident in New York, the limo.
Yeah.
That has more
national attention, I think, than the storm.
You know why? Because everyone can see themselves in that position. Because if you are of age and you think, okay, we may enjoy drinking a little extra, let's be safe and get a driver.
Mm-hmm.
And then to find out that this driver should not have been driving the vehicle that was turned in, which was souped up and turned into a limousine.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many, there were sisters on board, with three sisters, and celebrating a 30th birthday party.
Newlyweds, yeah.
Yeah, and how many children were involved, and I mean, their parents lost. It's just, I don't know.
And how crazy, now that more information is coming out on that driver, Shahid Hussein, that he was an undercover informant for the FBI and terrorism stings. I mean, this is an unbelievable story from the one woman texting her family before or calling and saying, this is a dangerous-looking vehicle. I don't know if we're going to make it.
Because that was the second. The first vehicle broke down, and so then they brought in another vehicle. And she said, I'm not feeling quite right about this.
Yeah, it didn't pass an inspection or something like
correct.
That.
Correct. And then they said, we heard from the Governor Cuomo, who said, basically, we're going to go after this owner. They have some explaining to do. The owner was tracked down in Pakistan.
Right. So, and the driver there that Dalton was referencing, he was busted for getting illegal immigration papers for people pre-9/11, I think. So it's tied in with the, it's a pretty interesting story. More to come on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that'll bring questions.
Yep.
With 20 people on board, that's unfortunately a prime opportunity if someone wanted to cause damage like
right.
that.
So
hopefully they'll get some more information.
Yeah, the chance of you said, it's not scary to me because I've been in a limo, I think, twice in my life. And more, I'd be scared being the people on the street that would get hit.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Yeah, my limo for something like that is an Uber.
Oh.
It's something in a Camry.
Yeah.
That's my limo. And then also reprieve for Rosenstein. He's not going to get fired. Now, remember a couple weeks ago when I said, here's ridiculousness, when we were reading story A was saying that Rod Rosenstein was heading to the White House to resign, and story B said Rod Rosenstein's heading to the White House because he's been fired.
Yeah.
And then I said, how can all these sources be accurate, have different stories? And then here, Rod Rosenstein's fine. When you hear sources say, people close to the matter say, just remember that individual story when you start to add the salt to what somebody says, a grain of salt, maybe a whole pound of salt when you hear that.
But is this deja vu because you're hearing the conversation about, okay, he's on a plane, he finds out whether or not there's some sort of demise involved, and he walks off the plane and everybody's la 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 ooh la la, right?
Mm-hmm.
A few years back, remember Loretta Lynch?
Mm-hmm. They were on the tarmac. I thought exactly the same.
But
they didn't talk
Bill
about
Clinton.
Grandchildren.
Oh, right,
remember,
right.
That's what they were doing. They're talking about grandchildren
the
whole time.
Yeah, sure they were. Mm-hmm. But how ironic. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting for all the naysayers, all the he said, she said, who were pointing fingers back then. What do those people say now when it sounds like quite a similar situation?
But you have a situation. I would say the airplane part in the tarmac is the same, but you have the sitting president of the United States, not a former president.
Right.
You have somebody who is,
directly connected to the investigation.
But also directly connected in the chain of command to be his boss.
But
so there's a legitimate reason he could have Rosenstein with him to talk with him.
But look at the similarities, though, as far as, tarmac, yes, plane. But if there's
physically,
active investigation going on, and you don't know if he was was alone with the president, or if there was a bunch of people in there, and it was a group meeting.
Yeah, I think.
But I'm just saying.
Let me add this to it. Was it that they had opened up the back of Air Force One like a C-130, and Trump had Rosenstein out there holding him by his jacket? either this investigation stops, or you're going to fly in with the birds here with no parachute, man.
Let me just tell you what my thoughts. My thoughts are this: President Trump is very good with optics, and mm-hmm. he knows how things play out, and they could be as simple and innocent as possible, but that people will run with it and make a story out of a non-story is the news cycle that we're in. And that was my thought.
No, that's for sure.
Look at that.
All right, I want to add one more thing here before we go to the break. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a rant that this has been coming for a while. I don't need a true rant. I put it up on Twitter a second ago. I saw this on Facebook Marketplace, right? I was over on Facebook Marketplace, and they are somebody has listed some Marlboro, which I always have some trouble with that word, Marlboro,
yes.
Marlboro camping gear.
What?
The camping gear set with the tent, the sleeping bag, the cook gear, looks like a little like radio flashlight setup and stuff. All your camping gear for your active outdoor lifestyle here from the cigarette manufacturer. And it reminded me of the old days when Marlboro and other companies would make, Camel and stuff would make, your outdoor adventure gear from Camel. And here's Marlboro making their camping gear. Like, go backpacking. Let's go up in high latitude. Let's go high altitude backpacking as we smoke that carton. And so it reminded me of days gone by. Y'all remember that when the cigarette companies would market? I guess I picked up on it more because I read every outdoor magazine when I was a kid that mm-hmm. I could, and I'd have these ads where people are like they're up in the high Rockies, heading up to a wall tent or something because they're going up for hunting in the high country, and they got that cigarette and they're doing which has always been interesting too. I don't know how they could smoke the cigarette and then not like hold the reins of the horse or do what they needed to do, unless mm-hmm. they were one of those people like I had a family member that used to be able to smoke and have it hang out of his mouth both hands.
Ash would never fall.
That's right. It would just dangle in this kind of arc, and you'd wonder if it would fall, but it wouldn't fall. Because we used to say, people say chewers or doers, right? The people that use smokeless tobacco were doers because they had to have their hands available to do things. Cigarette person was just going to kind of look back and watch things.
And for those who are listening, I said A-S-H.
Yes, okay. Right.
A-S-H.
Right. Right, sure. Sure you did. Keep telling them, Finley.
Oh, Mamma Mia. Listen, I'm not...
Marlboro camping gear for sale right now on Facebook Marketplace.
I'm not the person with the line of the day. We know that is the dynamic Dalton.
That is right. He's got two of them today.
How many of those Marlboro sleeping bags had holes in them?
Right.
After a few years of use.
It's for sale right now on Facebook Marketplace. Marlboro camping gear. There you go, folks. Thank you, Kane. 852 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. We'll grab calls and text here at 343-0106. So part of the burgeoning economy is the rise in interest rates. They go hand in hand, right? So what about your credit card? What about the rate on that? You ever looked at your credit card statement, been shocked by that interest rate? You could actually roll all your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate. In other words, money back in your pocket every month. Folks at Lightstream offer credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with autopay. So average rate, and I tell you right now, this is going up, average rate on credit card interest, 18% nationally. How about 5.89% APR? You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and you could even get your money as soon as the day you apply. And Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. And how about this? Reforestation going on from Lightstream. They plant a tree for every loan they fund. It's kind of a cool side note. And y'all can get a special discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get the discount, though, is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. Website lightstream.com/Sullivan. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, I want to get to this, though, because we mentioned it in the last segment that we're talking about Drew Brees and mm-hmm. Record-setting evening, and Peyton Manning getting bumped from the top there. And we were talking about it with Quinn a second ago, that he said, oh, yeah, then, you know, I guess they showed it there at the Superdome, Peyton Manning. Maybe it's like the pre-recorded, you know, Miss America. When the previous year's Miss America does her farewell speech. In the past, you know, maybe it doesn't happen every year. I don't know. I'm not trying to, Lord knows, start some fight. But I have seen this before, and it's factual.
Yes.
The Miss America of the previous year, she'll stand there crying as a video plays that she's recorded when she wasn't crying about how her year's Miss America's been. You know I'm right. And so I was wondering if this is Peyton's signature here, where he pre-recorded this. So if Drew Brees did make the record, then he could press play.
Yeah, so Drew Brees, he broke the record last night. In the first half, he had to get 201 yards passing to break Peyton Manning's all-time career passing yard, and he did it very quickly. By the second quarter, a 62-yard touchdown pass broke that record. So they played this in the Superdome, evidently. Here's Peyton Manning.
Peyton, FYI, Drew Brees just broke your record.
Which one?
All-time passing yards.
Passing yards? Oh, okay. So I still have the touchdown record, right?
He's actually on pace to break that, too.
What? Great. Drew, for 1,000 days, I've held the record for all-time passing yards in the NFL. And I got to tell you, it's been the greatest 1,000 days of my life. And thanks to you, that's over now. And you've ruined that for me. So thank you very much. I have nothing left to look forward to except slicing my tomatoes, making dinner for my family, putting together this wedge salad. Also, let this serve as the congratulations for the touchdown record, because as you can see, I'm very busy. I don't have time to keep doing these videos for you, congratulating you. But in all seriousness, Drew, congratulations on this record. You've done it the right way. All your hard work and dedication have paid off. You and I have come a long way since this picture back in 2000 when you were in college and I was in my third year in the NFL. So way to go. Proud of you. Good luck the rest of the way.
Very cool.
I like
he's
making a wedge salad. I like the specifics in it. So there you go. So this is, and you said they got a bye week next week, so it'll be in 2 weeks. So we have a chance to see Drew Brees maybe set a new record.
It won't be setting a new record. He'll be joining that club.
Joining the club.
But right now, he's 40 touchdowns behind Peyton Manning for that all-time passing touchdowns record.
He's got to get some work to do.
Yeah, a little bit of ways to go for that one.
All right. Also reading the text line here, a lot of people, they said, Sean, those were the moral. God, that word. This
Marlboro.
Is like the, Marlboro. Even though Marlboro, you can say it, but you leave the L. You want to say Marlboro. Marlboro.
Silent.
If Jolene Roxbury is listening, she says the funniest Marlboro ever. But so they're saying that Marlboro miles, you would collect those from the cigarette packs to get the gear. This texture says, I still have the Marlboro neon sign in the attic. It's very bright. Listen, the signs and all that stuff, it's fine. That didn't get my attention as much as when they did their whole outdoors series of like action adventure outdoors person and smoking. Hal sends a picture of the Winston Racing Series logo. now smoking and racing, you can smoke a cigarette and race a car all day long. Except, I mean, it clouds up in the visor there, but if you can, you know, hold that cigarette out and if you'd be the best person ever in racing if you saw them going around the track and they're ashing out the window as they're driving.
I still think it's pretty surreal when you look back at, you know, news from 40, 50 years ago, and they're smoking in the newsroom. And, you know, anchors are in the background, reporters are in the background, smoking, and it's just
40, 50 years ago, try WZBQ, WTID circa 1990-91, my first commercial.
What?
Oh, my first commercial radio gig. So they picked some of us up that worked at the college radio station there in Tuscaloosa, WVUA. What's up, WVUA?
Hey.
What's up, T-Town? So they picked us up, and that's how I got started in this. I was there to graduate and go to law school. I had no idea. I'd never done radio before. And so I went out there to the radio ranch that sat in a big field. I've told you stories. I had cows eat the bumpers of, I had a Jeep Cherokee back then, standard shift.
It's called
awesome.
Chewing the cud.
And they would go chew the rubber off the bumpers. One of the stations was in a little Morgan shed. And when you're working in there, the cows would scratch their butts on the corner of the Morgan shed, and the
you
mics on the mic
mouth.
Booms would swing. So it was out in the middle field. So I started there. Oh, our control room. our control room was, you could take the Sonics, like the stuff we have in the studio that keeps sound from reflecting, and push it and make the smells. Oh my gosh, yeah. That was 1991, so that was nothing big on that. So yeah, those were the old days. Back in the 90s.
That's now. Legal Eagle Beagle, Sean.
I just wish I had some of that Marlboro camping gear.
And a crack-a-lantern, right?
Yeah, crack-a-lantern. Yeah, check out the Twitter feed. Lots to enjoy there.
Ooh, you gonna get it.
Oh yeah, well, I hope I do. join me again.
In
noon
the worst
today,
way ever. Midday Mobile.